previously on Wisco Weekly.
Let's say an Uber or a Lyft driver, right? They're one of their banes of existence. They're always sometimes waiting up to 4 to 5 minutes for their passengers to come in. Is there a way to reward those passengers in an Uber or a Lyft?
Sure. There's a way to for drivers to reward passengers. There's a way for passengers to reward drivers.
And on this episode...
If your rating is dropping, you're doing a lot of short ride, it's because the driver, if anything three or anything under three, he won't get you again. So if I live in that area and I know you're like, you constantly do that, I don't want you in my car again. I'm going to have to get a scooter.
Yeah,
I'm
but
have
you
to
know
get
what, though?
The only
like,
way I'm get to
unfortunately, the unfortunately, I think this is, like, I don't think that's right, though, either. I understand from if I'm an Uber or Lyft driver why you don't want to do that. But at the same time, if in terms of... this transportation revolution, you need that last mile, first and last
Absolutely.
Mile solution.
Well, so, amen.
This is Wisco Weekly, an automotive business podcast sharing the voices of automakers, automotive retailers, and transportation professionals who are driving and shaping the future of automotive.
You are now tuned in to... the Wisco Weekly Experience.
Chicken brown, listeners, welcome to another episode of Wisco Weekly. I'm alongside a good friend of mine, Rudy Sala, who is shaking his head in such disappointment because he absolutely despises the wild geekiness of that introduction.
I hate it.
He absolutely despises it, but nonetheless... your company with me is always appreciated and always a good time to have you on the show.
It's an honor to be on this show. It's truly an honor to be on this show because of our guests today. The reason why I am the funniest person on the Wisco Weekly podcast, and
which is a very high bar.
It's a very high bar, but the reason why I'm the funniest, and I'm going to go ahead and just take that crown, a large part of that is because of our guest today, who I always... had this funny, crazy person inside of me, but he was disorganized and he didn't know what he was doing. And then like it was like bad clay. And then the clay master was here and he helped reform this clay that's inside of
me. What is this, like a ghost moment?
Yes, this is, I'm bringing my passion for the horror genre into this because me being a sometime stand-up comic should be like a horror film to people. Yes, that's exactly what I'm doing.
Well, listeners, welcome to Wisco Weekly, where we share the voices of automakers, automotive retailers, and transportation professionals who are driving and shaping the future of automotive. Today's guest is Jeff Hodge. He is a comedian, actor, producer, author, host, and Uber driver. He is native to the U.S. Virgin Islands and has performed stand-up comedy across the world, from America's hottest clubs to a USO comedy tour of the Middle East. Jeff has authored several relationship books, including 101 Plus Ways to Keep a Man, 101 Ways to Tell When the Relationship is Over, and 101 Ways to Tell If the Person You're Dating is Crazy. I love those last two.
Don't forget about the driving books that he has authored as well. Do you know what those ones are as well?
His most recent book, Road Trippin', The Life and Times of a Comic on the Run, looks over Jeff's early years on the road as a stand-up comic. Currently, Jeff produces a YouTube channel which has web series such as Jeff Hodge Car Diaries, Relationship Advice from a Confirmed Bachelor, and Tips to Succeed with Uber.
So, I recently received a message in my inbox from a grieving housewife. Apparently, she caught her cheating husband on a dating website, and she don't know what to do. What I suggested was that she create a fake profile with a fake picture on the same dating website, invite him out on a date. When he shows up with the flowers and the candies at this date, give him some real divorce papers and bounce.
Here to bring comedic fodder and insight into the life of an Uber driver, men, women, and children, please welcome to the show, Mr. Jeff Hodge.
Hey, everybody. How y'all doing? I can't sit long. I got a driver, passenger in the car.
you can get a zero rating on that one, Jeff.
I don't like him anyway. It's a short ride.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's good.
Well, yeah, I like it. You're kind of flipping the script, right? Normally, you're having to wait for the rider, and now you're making them wait for you.
Well, let me tell you something about Uber drivers. You know, when you drive long enough, you figure stuff out. And guys hate short rides. If it's a short ride, a lot of times, with me, you're going to get a one. That means that you'll never get in my car again. But they don't know. And it ain't had nothing to do with you personally, but it's just... You know, I don't like short rides. Short rides cost me time and money and gas.
But that's so unfair. I mean, somebody's got to go somewhere and they needed to use your car. I mean, giving them a one is like a death knell.
No, it ain't, because they got other people. Man, you know how much to get your ratings down below. Uber don't even really turn off the passengers. They turn off the drivers at 4.6 or lower. So you got a long ways to go. But, you know, drivers, we got to keep it above 4.6. Or else they shut you down. Then you got to go to, like, Uber driver school for like 4 hours and all that to get turned back on. Yeah.
What is Uber driver
school? Wait a minute. Yeah. Wait, yeah, there's a lot. You're dropping all kinds of knowledge on here. Uber driving school.
Well, it's not called Uber driving school, but if you get shut up, you have to take a class. Kind of like a traffic school. Uh-huh. Like, and if you got to pay like, it was $40 back in 4 or 5 years ago. I don't know what it is now. And then you sit there.
So you had a clean record basically for the last 4 years then, essentially.
Well, no, because you just kind of, see what a lot of people don't realize, a lot of drivers when they get in, they don't realize, this. I'm just going there, keep my car clean and, you know, make a bunch of money. No, keep your ratings up.
Because how do you do that?
Well, don't piss off a lot of drivers, and that's very subjective. I mean, not a driver, a lot of passengers, and that's very subjective. The bottom line is, like I said, I do enough just to keep my app on, because you can do 100%, and then people are mad because, you know, they didn't like the smell of your air freshener, you know. So just be polite, keep your car clean, and, you know, try to get the people there in a reasonable amount of time, and more or less you're going to get above 3.
And I know we're just diving right into this, and we'll get into a little bit of backstory, but I have to ask you a question. Just because of my experience lately in both Uber and Lyft, and I know you drive for both, right?
Right, drive for both.
And I know there's a point to that as well, considering one of your videos that I watched. Do you, when people enter your car, do you have the music on or off?
It depends. Sometimes I'll have the music. Sometimes I have music going. Okay. You know, I usually try to have it going because I'm listening to it as I'm going to pick them up.
Okay.
But what'll happen is. What I usually try to do, that's another thing. It's good to have a couple good playlists, because sometimes you get in the car, people get in the car and they're like of different ages and races and what's not. So you don't want to have a playlist that's inappropriate. So basically my playlist, I've gotten a lot of compliments on my jazz playlist, my old school R&B playlist, you know, stuff that's really safe. And a lot of my passengers have complimented me on it. And I see that in the tip. Now, I remember I had a couple of Midwestern ladies in my car, and they got in, and I was playing, I don't know, jazz or old school. I think it might have been old school, you know, all the slow music. I like the slow song. And they were talking to themselves, and then one of the ladies said, we really appreciate your music. And I said, well, thank you. She said, no, you don't understand. The last time we got into an Uber, the young man was playing some real inappropriate thing, and it was loud. And, you know, 5 minutes in, we had to ask him if he could turn it down, if he could change it. And he did, but he was totally oblivious to his audience. Yeah. They had to actually ask him. It's like, dude, you can't be in here with the hardcore.
That's got to be like Uber/Lyft tip 101. Don't have offensive music playing matter what.
But that's
well,
objective.
Unless, right, I mean, enough. Look, the way that, fair you know, when you asked fair that question, enough. The first thing I thought about was, baseball walk-up music, right? When the player gets to home plate, right. Like you want that intro music. Like if I had my Uber or Lyft driver come and they knew the song I wanted, man, that would welcome me inside that car. I'd feel right.
They
at
tried
home.
To do that with the I think Uber Lyft. One of them had partnered with Spotify, and people could punch in some of their favorite songs, and then when you pick them up. The songs would be like, you could see some of the song and you could go to that. I ain't doing all that, man, because, you know, I'm just getting you in and out. I don't have time to be kind of, what you like. Here's another thing. Another time I had a couple guys, white guys, got in my car and I was playing country music.
How dare you? I hate country music.
It was
music.
A dad and a son, and I think it was from Florida. And the guy goes,
hey, bro, you don't have to play that, man. I don't like country music. Yes. You know, I'm like, no, you don't understand. I like this. I used to live in Texas. Man. It was my, I don't make necessarily go because, okay, well, you're white, so let me do this. No, if I like my music, I play it. It's safe. So he thought I was playing it just because they got in the car.
I'm going to forgive you because you did come to Texas from the Virgin Islands.
That's
and
right.
I know your backstory and everything. But I really do hate country music, and it's something you haven't learned enough about me, even though you've learned a lot through my crazy stand-up writing.
Rudy.
I'm a music snob.
Really?
I pass judgment. I don't pass judgment upon race. I don't pass judgment upon economic situation. I don't pass judgment based upon religion, but I will pass judgment upon
on
you.
On music?
On music.
Hey, Jeff, here's $100 every time Rudy gets in your car, play country music. See,
you know what, too? Here's another thing. I got my iPod, old school one, the classic one, right? So I have like about, I don't know, 7,000 songs in there, and I made some playlists. Now, you know, my Mac went down, so I can't even change the songs, but I got playlists in there. So when you're driving around a lot, when I say that, I don't mean necessarily the same day, but a lot of time you listen to the radio, you're hearing all these songs over and over again. So sometimes you want to mix it up. So what I'll do is I'll go on there and play some of the 80s love songs, 90s love songs.
Easy.
No, but that's what I like.
Yeah.
And then every now and then I'll get tired of that. Sometimes you might see me in July play my Christmas playlist, and people will be looking at me like...
Yeah, that's strange. That is
really...
Yeah,
I'm trying to mix it up.
You're literally living up to the irony of Christmas in July.
Yes,
that's right.
You are.
I play, but again... It's safe, and usually if when I do that and they ask
I don't know,
me,
you playing Christmas music in July, that might not be a safe thing anymore.
No, I'll tell you what.
There's already kind of this quote-unquote war on Christmas.
It starts a conversation, and then before you know it, then I'm a comic, and next thing you know, they want to come to my show.
That's a really good thing. I understand why you would definitely want to talk to your passengers, because especially if they live in Los Angeles, they could come out to the shows that you put on. You put on excellent shows. You put them all over LA. You put them in the Ice House, the Fanatic Salon, and you have the comedy school and everything. But I don't like talking to my Uber or Lyft drivers. Does that make me a jerk as a passenger? Just tell me. I'm asking you a question.
And as a follow-up, would an Uber driver ever give a bad rating to the passenger because he or she did not want to talk with
good question.
Driver?
Okay, this is very subjective. I personally don't like for you to talk to me nor sit in my front seat.
Okay.
That's the quickest way to piss me off.
All right.
Want to sit up front? Because sometimes I'm a typical Cancer. You know, I'm very temperamental, moody. So sometimes I want to talk, sometimes I don't want to talk.
Okay.
So if you get in the bag, and if I'm in a good mood, I might start flowing with you. If I'm not, you know. Now, I do know a couple of Lyft drivers, Uber drivers, that if you do not talk to them, they will give you a one.
Wow.
So again, it's very subjective who you get.
This is too stressful.
Is there a community of Uber / Lyft drivers that you belong to where you guys would either discuss these issues? I don't want to say you guys would be union per se, but that is the concept, right? You guys all get together, you talk about what are the goods and bads, and then eventually gets passed up to corporate.
Okay, with me, I'm kind of a lone wolf, okay, because I like to do it when I want to do it and just in and out. Now,
we're still talking about Uber driving, right?
We're talking about Uber driving. We're not talking
about Uber. This is a clean show. Okay, just because we got a professional comedian on here doesn't mean
he
you
talks
start
about relationships a lot.
What's
so
wrong
I just
with
wasn't
you?
Sure what we were talking about.
Sorry about that, Jeff. Sorry. No,
it's okay. No, but here's the thing. Now, a lot of times I drive LAX. That's my hangout. I'll drive LAX, better rides, you know, they're consistent. Okay. Now, when you go drive at the airport, there's usually a waiting lot where you go in, you have to queue, and then, you know, you get a ride. So sometimes you're sitting around waiting for minutes, you know, maybe 30 minutes max, whatever. Okay. While you're in there, a lot of time what I've seen is a lot of drivers have bonded, and they kind of start like a little gang, little clique. And things that they figure out or learn, they'll pass it on to their buddies or what's not. So they become kind of like I said, like a union. So if something is going on, they'll say, hey, we don't like this, whatever. And then you have these little cliques talking to other cliques. And that kind of way is how I've seen things kind of go up the channel. Like I think about a month ago, Uber changed the rate for, you know, we get paid driving distance plus time. Okay, and they changed the rate on that. And guys were striking. I didn't even know there was a strike.
Seriously?
Why? I didn't even know. Friends would tell me, how come you're not at the strike? I'm like, what strike? So what I'm saying to you is some guys are really into the driving. I mean, 100%, that's their livelihood. Me, I just do it when I feel like doing amazing, makes some money. So yeah. I'm not that connected.
With regards to the life then that being an Uber driver has afforded you, you know, mm-hmm. obviously I would see that flexibility is one of the main things, but especially you being a stand-up comic, like has it enhanced your stand-up comedy career?
Dude, as a comic, or I would say as a performer, you know, musician to, you know, songwriter, whatever. As a comic, whenever you deal with the general public, if you're smart, you'll always get something out of it. And that's the way I've looked at it.
Tell us about any times you've felt, especially being a male Uber driver or Lyft driver,
mm-hmm.
have there been any times you felt unsafe in your own car?
You know what? Unfortunately, no. And I say that because you know me, I don't think I'm that big of a guy, but people say, well, you know, I could look intimidated, you know. So I most of the people that I get in my car, they're not, like I said, I do LAX a lot. So people coming out of the airport, they've been screened. Probably not everything.
That's a good point.
That is a good tip right there.
I didn't even think about that.
So I ain't really worried about that. Here's another thing again. Like I said, most of the people, this is what I always tell people when they ask me, is it safe to drive Uber, Lyft, whatever? Yes. And I'll tell you why. You're not picking up random people on the streets. Everybody, every passenger that takes a Lyft, Uber, they have their person of means. In other words, you have to give a credit card to sign up. If you don't do that, you can't sign up for Lyft or Uber to be a passenger. Okay? So if you get in my car and you do some crap, they can track you down because the last person was Dennis. Mm-hmm. We got his credit card. We know where to send the cop. So most people aren't going to do crap because they know they can be caught. Now, like any business, every now and then you hear stuff about Uber driver this, Uber Lyft driver that. Listen. I don't know how many drivers they have worldwide, Uber, Lyft, or even nationwide. I know it's in the millions, okay? You look at any industry, there are people in the industry, you know, every day doing stupid shit, criminally, okay? So every now and then Uber driver does it, people, oh man, you can't be safe with Uber and Lyft, you know, the drivers. No, that's only one of 2-3 million drivers.
Look, I go back to the point of you can't be safe just driving your car. Every single year, 40,000 people die just by driving your car. So you're absolutely correct. Every once in a while, you're going to hear about
it's an idiot doing something.
It's called life.
That's life.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
So don't go by just because when you think about it, if you could do the numbers, okay, that one idiot did that. But look at how many rides between that incident and last incident Uber and Lyft gave without an incident. Right. So don't go by just, the media will throw it out there, Uber Lyft, because that's the new buzzword. You say Uber Lyft and they're about to go public, so everybody knows who they are. But it's just like any industry, you know. It's a lot of people. When you have a lot of people, you're going to hear from all kinds of walks of life with, you know, thinking differently.
Let me go back to, I know you've been doing this for 5 years.
Right.
What was the decision? Where were you 5 years ago where you decided, I'm gonna pick this up, I need some flexibility? What was going on in your life?
I was about to be homeless. And no, actually, you know what it was? I used to work at a law firm. I worked at a law firm, I don't know, 9-11 years. I don't know how long I worked in legal field. And
which is a very unfunny place to work, ladies and gentlemen.
It depends on what practice.
Well, obviously, look what it's turned out, budding stand-up comics.
I had some fun in working at a law firm. But I was working in corporate America and I had gotten laid off. And, you know, I was doing the temp thing. And that wasn't, it's kind of like them jerking your collar. You call you up, you got a week assignment, you're going for a week, and then it lasts 2 days and stuff like that. And I couldn't really control what I wanted to do. And at the same time, I got shows, I got auditions. So when it was Uber that came in first to L.A., and I tried to sign up with them. My car at the time was a 2005 Nissan Altima.
Okay.
And they wouldn't let me sign up because they said my car was too old. I'm like, okay, no problem. A year went by. And then Lyft came into the market. And the funny thing, I didn't even know about Lyft. One weekend, I went up to a female friend of mine. She was a chef. She's a chef. And she was cooking. And I said, what you did this past weekend? It wasn't a weekend. It was like a couple of days after the weekend. She said, oh, I was just driving around picking people up. I'm like, what are you doing? You crazy? You can get killed. She goes, oh, no. It's called Lyft. I'm like, what is Lyft? So she told me it's just like Uber, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, oh, I never heard of it. She said she signed up and, you know, she's been doing it. I said, well, you think they'll take me? She goes, yeah. I said, well, you know, I have an old car. She said, it don't matter. So I called, you know, I did the sign up for Lyft and they accepted me. So I started driving for Lyft. I'm damn wrong. And then about 3 months later, I pick up this passenger somewhere around LAX and he doesn't put in an address. So I'm like, where you want to go? He said, just drive. I'll key it in later. So I'm driving, you know, So about a couple of minutes in, I'm like, okay, where, you know, you come to, do I turn right? Do I go straight? So I said, where do you want me to go? What he said, tell me to pull into this Denny's right here by LAX. And I pull in and he go, hey, I'm not really a passenger. I work for Uber. I'm like, And he goes, how would you like to drive for Uber? I said, well, I tried that. And they said my car was too old. He go, oh, no, your car is fine. You can drive for us. So he said, we'll give you a sign-up bonus. So they were stealing drivers.
Yeah, look at that dividing conquer.
So that's how I came into Uber.
No way.
So he said my car was 7 years at the time. He said it's up 10 years old. So he said, no, your car is fine. So he gave me, he signed me up. And he get, at the time, they didn't have an Android phone. They were only using iPhones. So he said, he gave me a phone and he said, come down to the, it was a hotel at LAX where they were, I guess they were signing up other drivers could come down and get signed into the system. So I came down there, they gave me my phone and they signed me up. And that's how I started driving for Uber, because Uber at first was kind of like hidey-tidey, like, oh no, we too bougie, you can't drive for us. But then Lyft came in and started kicking their butts and then it started stealing
Dennis,
drivers.
Espionage. Cloak and dagger spy type shit was going on.
Slow your roll, not espionage.
This is corporate espionage.
I know, dude. I was like, what? Okay.
I had no idea.
Yeah, they were stealing driver for a minute there. That's why I hear people always get in my car, passengers, and they'll go, and my signage on my car, I just have Lyft on there because you put all that stuff on there. After a while, you can't see out the damn window anyways. I just have Uber up there, Lyft. And then Lyft signage, some of the stuff that I have is kind of small. So instead of putting my Uber, I just put my Lyft up there. So I do Uber too. So when I go pick up people sometime, they'll go, I didn't know it was you because you didn't have the Uber stuff. I'm like, dude, my license plate. You know, the same car.
Yeah.
I look just like you. So
these days, everybody knows.
Yeah, so I said, that's me. Can you drive for both? I go, yeah. A lot of the guys are driving for both.
Yeah, I don't know anybody that doesn't drive. Why wouldn't you drive for both?
Some people are like that. Some people are like, look, I only drink Starbucks. I'm not going to Coffee Bean. Right. Same thing with Uber and Lyft. Some drivers, they only drive for one or the other. They don't drive for the next.
So, Jeff, one of the things you had mentioned earlier was the fact that you hate short trips.
Hate them.
I think obviously what's great about what you've done, you've kind of figured out the system in that when you're picking up people from LAX, then more times out of not, those aren't short trips.
Well, yeah, they can be. When I said short trips.
Let's define short trips, Jeff, because my opinion of what a short trip is might be different than yours. So tell me what your definition of a short trip
is. Look, if it's under double digits, $10, it's a short trip for me.
Okay, but wait a minute. Hold on. So that could be anything from 3 miles and under, or it depends upon the time of the day. How does that work?
I'll give you an example.
Please.
Like I said, I do LAX a lot. I picked up a guy from the terminal.
Okay.
He was going less than a mile. Old point. He was going to one of the hotels. Okay.
So he didn't want to wait for one of the courtesy shuttles.
No. He was staying at one of the hotels. So now keep in mind that. See, you got to think of the mentality. Like I said, LAX, sometimes you have to wait. So I waited. I don't know how long I waited at night. I get this ride, pick up this guy, and he's just going less than a month. I mean, you got to go where you got to go. I don't have a problem with that. Mm-hmm. When I dropped the guy off, the ride was only $2.80.
Oh my God. Oh.
And then he said, I'm going to tip you. That MF never tipped me. But check it out. If I do 20 rides that day and they're all $2.80, I'm going to go rob a liquor store when I'm done.
Well, I mean, Jeff, can you be candid with us? For instance, in the example of you do 20 rides that are all like this.
$2.80?
Yeah, $2. Yeah,
$3, $5.
Like, what is your take home for the day on that on a day like that?
Oh, you mean what's their pull, right? What's the companies get versus what he gets?
Essentially.
Lyft and Uber takes 20%. The drivers get 80%. So I'm not going to do $2.80. Right? It's not going to happen because I have a rule, experience. If I get two straight short rides under $10, I'm screening the third one. Where you going? Oh, no. I'm going to make sure that ride is going to get canceled or whatever. I'm not going to do that.
Actually, that's interesting what you just said. That's very interesting about what you just said. I thought all rides are pre-screened.
No, they're not. We don't see where you're going until we actually start the ride.
Oh, no way. Oh, interesting. No, I didn't know. A lot of people don't know that. You're kidding me.
Oh, yeah, because I would have thought you would.
You know how many rides would be canceled? If I knew you were just going down the street to the coffee. You know, at LAX, people always want to go to this In-N-Out, which is right off the freaking
You could practically walk.
Yeah. That would be a $2.80. You know how many people would be getting canceled if you could see where you were going? It's like, we'd be canceled. We ain't doing all that.
You know, let me ask you this, Jeff. So obviously Uber is looking to get into the autonomous vehicle space.
Wait, what is autonomous?
A driverless car,
but you'll still have a safety driver. Like, you'll still have someone behind the wheel, just right. Not doing all the turning, accelerating, braking kind of thing.
Just last week, Toyota put $1 billion into Uber for this division. So I just wanted to add some news to that.
So, you know, there was you know, one of the more, one of the black eyes on.
Well, you said black eyes or block?
Black guys.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. One of the black guys.
You don't mean brothers.
Yeah. One of the black guys on Uber's autonomous driving program was the incident that happened in Arizona, where there was a Volvo driving at night in autonomous vehicle mode with the driver behind the wheel, and the car ended up hitting a lady who was crossing the street with her bike. The lady, unfortunately, was killed.
Right.
However, where I'm going with this is that if in the event that the autonomous Uber cars becomes more pervasive and more rampant in specifically California, where now you are saying, hey, you know what? I'm continuing to be an Uber driver, but now I don't really have to drive anymore. I just have to be behind the wheel and, you know, still pick up people and still kind of do the manual process. Would that be something that you are okay with? Like the fact that now you really don't have to drive the car, you just are more or less observing and ensuring that every part of the car is operating nominally.
So hopefully in 5 years from now, I'll have my movie deal. I'll be a star. I won't be doing Uber Lyft anytime.
I'm trying to help you with that.
Exactly. But again, I am sure there's going to be some pushback from some drivers depending on what's, you know, I mean, it's like, how do they get paid? What, you know, what's involved? But if I'm doing the same thing and you know, making money and doing less, well, yeah, why not? I'm thinking it probably would have less jobs available for the amount of drivers out here, Uber Lyft. And the good thing about Uber Lyft right now is you don't have a job, you do have a job, you just want to make some extra cash, you just sign up, jump in your car.
I think your point is a good one about bringing up the whole five-year thing. The way that the transportation industry is moving with all of the changes, whether that be autonomous vehicles, whether that be the transportation networks that are being built out, whether that's like our real estate being changed, I have no idea what our world's going to look like in 5 years. Right. 5 years, it might look the same. Do you get into 10, 15, 20 years, who knows who's going to be driving, right, whatever. And matter of fact, during last week, we actually talked about flying cars. Those are going to be
the
in the
Jetson
future.
Era.
I'm telling you, the Jetson era is coming. You might be flying a Uber car someday.
Now, this is what I don't get. I mean, sure. I didn't see the phone thing, you know, initially. I remember they used to talk about this back when I was in not grade school, but in college. There was this, we don't have phones with cameras on them.
Yep.
And you know, when you think about it, you're like, wait a minute, I don't want to be on the phone talking and now I'm in the bathroom or getting dressed, people could see me. You didn't understand the concept. So the flying car thing is the same thing. It's like, wait a minute, people can't even keep it straight here on land.
Yep.
Imagine you have 100,000 people up there crashing it. So
No, it's an issue. And people can barely drive. How are they going to become commercial pilots? The only way that it's going to work is there's going to be some kind of robotic or some kind of tether, something. It's going to start off in stages.
Right.
Just like cars did, but it's going to happen, Jeff. There's going to be flying cars.
But you know
cars.
What, too? I'm afraid of heights. I don't know if I can be driving.
Hey, that's a good point. My wife's afraid of heights. I didn't even think about that.
You get our wife about two floors off the ground, I'm deathly afraid.
I mean,
so.
Look, if there's people that will be afraid of heights, but at the same time, if they have to get somewhere, that's going to be a sacrifice people don't want to do, right? It's like the same case of flying.
If I'm in a back seat, I mean, like it's in the plane. I'm in the back. I don't see out the window. I see on the side. I'm fine. But if I'm going to have to be going up and coming down, that's a mood killer right there for me.
Let me ask you kind of a few rapid questions here. How many trips do you complete in a week?
It varies.
Like, give me an average.
I would say less than 40. Oh,
and if for you, is that like that's what you'd want? That's what you want to do also? And again, not considering what the fare is. On those
no,
40
because
trips.
Because of my system, I can do less than 40 and make 1,000 plus easy.
That's pretty great.
A thousand?
Hold on. Hold on.
I'm telling you, I'm not doing them short rides. I don't have a bunch of those in there.
See, wait a minute. This is good because I know what you and I. I know you're trying. You're building up this.
That's right.
This
go video to YouTube. My YouTube channel. I got all that information on there. Comedian Jeff Hodge.
Because if you can make, I'm sorry, if you can make $1,000 on 40 trips and under, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's seriously. That's incredible.
Now here's another thing. They got different promotions. Uber, Lyft, they'll run these promotions where you do like, if you do the rental, which I've done, if you do the rental, go through the rental, that's where they give you a free a car. You get a pretty much, well, it's supposed to be free. With Uber, it's about $250 a week, okay? Lyft makes you drive, you got to do at least 20 rides a week. And, you know, you pay $250 and you get the car. You don't have to pay for maintenance and none of that stuff. Now,
the hire car, Jeff. Remember where we had hire car on here? It's a somewhat similar type of scenario. Yeah.
So if you do that, now they have promotion. They'll say, if you do 100 rides, you don't have to pay that $250 or whatever the amount is. Well, I ain't doing that. That's too many rides. So that's where the short rides come in. You just go to the nearest university and you pick up all them little short rides from the dorm to the class, from class to somewhere and back. So you want to run up your number count. That's promotion. If you're doing that kind of run, if you're trying to do that and get a free car, you can do that. You want to do a bunch of little short rides and get your number up. I ain't trying to kill myself out like that. I'm like, okay, I'm going to try to make X amount of money. Everybody got a daily quota. That's every driver got a daily quota, $50, $100, whatever. I'm trying to make my quota. The best way to make this quota is this.
So you spoke of the car rental.
Mm-hmm.
Did you go through that program yourself?
I sure did. At one point, my car was I got total, and Lyft had just started the rental program, so I was in the pilot, and it was between Uber and Lyft. And with Uber, you had to pay you had to put it on the deposit of $250. Lyft was show up, you got a face, you got a driver's license, we'll give you a car. That's what I did. So that for that first year, there was no ride minimum either. You just had to show up, and you had to give them they were saying 15 hours, okay? You had to just do 15 hours driving time. But literally, you could be sleeping, and you could just turn your app on.
Did you go to a dealership then?
No, they have an approved rental agency. Uber has Enterprise, and Lyft has, what's the other one?
Hertz. Or Avis.
So they have certain ones selected just for Uber and Lyft, and you go there. Once you pull, you sign up for the car, you go down there, and then, you know, put you in a car, and they have whatever car. So, okay, we got this. I like midsize, you know, and you're not going to get the hybrid. They don't rent you the hybrids, you know, mm-hmm. But you get the regular cars.
Yeah, that's too bad. Those hybrids are at a premium, right? The value of a Prius, especially with the explosion of the TNCs, i.e. Uber, Lyft, the transportation companies. Priuses are at a, they're amazing. To get a used Prius is expensive these days.
Yeah, they're not going to give you, you know how it is. I mean, you've seen the Uber Lyft cars. They're not going to give you the high-end sports cars, all that stuff. It's going to be a regular family car, whatever that you get.
Are you familiar with some of these other programs that these other companies that have partnered with Uber and Lyft are doing in terms of helping Uber and Lyft drivers get into a variety of cars? And one of the, you know, one of the companies Rudy had mentioned, there's Hire Car, there's Fair. Do those names sound familiar to you?
I've heard of Fair. When you go down to the Uber hub in Redondo Beach, there's the Fair kiosk right there. I'm familiar with them, you know. Like I said, I went through the, initially I had went through the Hertz rental, and now they've had these other ones that come on. So basically, if you wanna work, they're making it so that you have no excuse. Mm-hmm. You don't have a car, we'll get you in a car. You know, all you gotta do is have a driver's license, a clean record, your background, we'll get you making some money. You just have to have the drive.
Yeah.
You know, so all this other stuff, I told my friend, I said, hey, I had a couple friends that didn't have cars, and I told them about it. I said, look, guys, you guys need to just go down and get you a Uber, Lyft rental, and you have a car to drive around. And said, man, I don't want no other work. I'm like, dude, you don't understand. You just do the minimum. And you can drive the car. I used to go all over the state with my rental car.
I got a question for you. Did you said you would take the car and drive it all over the state and go to different areas?
Mm-hmm.
Two part question. Number one, so that means that Lyft would not limit where they wouldn't say you have to stay in LA County, right? You could basically take the car.
You can take it out the country.
Okay, out the country.
Right.
And number two, I'm curious. What like, how rural did you get? Like, how out in the sticks of California? Because I'm a big California, like, junkie. Like, I love the state, and I want to travel it more. I haven't been to as many places. Where was the craziest place you drove that Lyft, and you were like, wow, this is weird?
You know what? I don't even remember the place I have gone, but I remember dropping this guy. He was a DJ from Seattle. Picked him up at LAX.
Wait a minute, hold on. My cousin's a DJ from Seattle. Well, he's a radio DJ from Seattle.
It was at night, too. This was about 10:30, 10 o'clock. And I drove him up to 5, you know, and up to Santa Clarita area, right? And then we had to take one of them roads off the 5. We got so far in, it was dark, and my service was gone from my GPS. So I'm like, this is going to be interesting getting back, because now, you know, I would usually update. So I'm like, okay, I screenshot it so that if it changed, I could at least just follow that path back out.
Yeah, that's pretty smart.
And yeah. I dropped him off. I don't know where I was. It was one of them, you know, the Big Bear. Or it wasn't Big Bear, but it was something like that. And when I dropped him off, it was pitch black. It was him and his girl. And I said, you sure? Yeah, I think this is the place. And I just dropped him off.
You know, having been in a fraternity, this sounds exactly like what we would have done to pledges.
Dude. Terrible thing.
Also, see, there's certain things you remember. In L.A., in Silver Lake area, I think we got the second highest road.
Oh, yeah, you do. You do. That's right.
I did that one freaking time.
Yeah. What is that again?
There's a particular street in Silver Lake that has this grade of
just very steep.
You are looking at the sky when you're going up.
Yeah.
And I wind up having to go pick somebody up one night, and the GPS took me. This was early, like first year or two. And the GPS took me that way, and I was so intense. It was at night again, and it's narrow, and you're just looking up. And when you get to the top, you can't even really see if there's something on the other side.
But did you ever take the lift like outside of LA County? Did you ever go to like Bakersfield?
I've gone to Sacramento. I've gone. You go to Vegas. What do you mean? It's a rental. See, that's another thing. When it first started, Uber started the rental thing. They had mileage quotas. Couldn't do it with mileage quotas. You can't do that because you'd eat up the mileage in a freaking within a week. So you couldn't really do it. Then Lyft came and they said no mileage. That's what made it possible, because I drive about 4,000 miles a month.
Have you ever picked up anybody from LAX, and have they said, and has the trip ever taken you to Las Vegas or someplace really crazy far?
I've done to Vegas. You know what? We had a Lyft driver. LAX to Salt Lake City, Utah.
No.
That's crazy.
11 hours going, 9 coming back.
No, come on.
You can't get the ride anymore, but yes, that happened.
Rudy, what would be interesting is from our previous conversation with Brian Beniak at Connected Travel,
yep,
an Uber driver or Lyft driver would significantly benefit from the gamification of a car, because now imagine all the reward points they collect as a result of the driving, right? Like they drive 4 times, 5 times the amount of most other average drivers, to which then, man, they're going into movies and getting Starbucks or Pete's Coffee.
Oh, yeah. I don't even cash in on those. I'd be forgetting, man. So,
So Jeff, a few more questions here for you. So have you been yourself a passenger?
Yeah.
So if you've been on both sides of the coin here, if you as a driver, what are some of your best etiquette tips for passengers who come into a ride-hailing car?
For me, would be, remember, it's not your car. Okay. It's still the driver's car.
That's a good point.
So
I think that gets lost, actually.
Some people get in wanting the world. And it's like, look, first of all, this is not a personal car. You're not going to be getting all that crap you're asking for. You got any water? Can you turn the AC down? Can you shut the hell up? That's what I want to tell them. Because, again...
Jeff, can I ask you a question?
Go ahead.
Oftentimes, I'm using, because I don't drive, yeah. I primarily use transportation.
Uh-huh.
I'm always on the phone.
Right.
I ask the driver sometime to turn on the radio because I have to be on a phone call. Is that okay?
You know what? It's okay.
Okay.
Because again, it's, you know, like I said, that's why we drive, to make your life easier. However, this is what I don't like. I had a lady in there and she got a one in my car just the other morning. I was driving the Surge in LAX, LA. And I think she was a nurse. She was going home. And she had it on speaker.
Oh, that sucks.
And she's loud. So what I used to do is turn my radio off completely. Screw that. Mm-hmm. I turn the sucker, you know. So it's like, if you're going to talk, you're going to limit this conversation. Or you're going to, you know, make sure you put on some headset. Because I don't want to be... Because remember now, this is what a lot of people don't realize. sometimes that radio is the only thing keeping me and you from, you know, an accident.
That's right.
So you, I need to be conscious and awake to get you to where you got to go safe. So if it's quiet and I start zoning out, your life is in jeopardy right now.
Okay, so that kind of goes back to the idea of when a passenger enters a car, you have to remember this is a service that is being performed, but the property itself is still
the driver.
Still of the driver.
And he still has the final say. Because, you know, I've had people ask me, can they smoke? If I want to go smoke weed with them, they want to have sex in the car. They want, it's, you know, whatever you can think of, it's they're trying to do it.
Did that all come from the same person?
No.
I was going to say, I mean, that's
an Uber ride of a life right there.
Seriously.
I had one guy, was it a guy? Yeah, I think it was a guy. He got in and he said, hey, man, you want to smoke some weed with me? I'm like, dude, I can't. I'm driving. I can't smoke no weed. Then he goes, well, the last driver smoked. I'm like, you just busted that guy. So you don't want to do it. I'm not going to do it with your tattletale self. Like, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm driving. I can't be. So then when I dropped him off, you change your mind, man, I'm going to be right here for the next 5 minutes. No, dude, we ain't doing none of that crap. I don't know who you are. So you get that crap. People just doing all that nonsense.
So as a passenger, Before the Uber or Lyft driver comes or before they get into the car, how can a passenger optimize their experience in a Uber or Lyft?
Okay, well, be ready. That's a big bone of contention with drivers.
What does that mean exactly?
You order Uber?
Yep.
Be ready to walk out that door right now, because what happens is a lot of times people order a ride and I may have just dropped the ride off right next door. And, oh, I got a ride. And it's, I just turn around. And then you hit the thing that you're there. Oh, my God, I'm just getting in the shower. I'll be right down. Whenever they say that crap, 10 minutes max.
That's what I was saying earlier about what Brian was here about. Is there a way to reward Uber or Lyft passengers to rush out to the car? Because they have up to 5 minutes, but that's really taken away from a driver's time.
I give them 3 minutes, and then I give them 2 to 3 minutes, and then I'm canceling and I'm moving on. I had one lady one time. She got mad. You know, she wasn't even at the location. She ordered, was on her way, and she ordered it. And I just turned around, dropped somebody, turned around. And I'm there waiting. I'm playing with my phone. I'm like, wait a minute. It's about 2 or 3 minutes. And I'm like, hey, you know, you're not here yet. I'm about to start the ride. She goes, okay, go ahead. But that's not cool. I'm going to tell Uber. I'm like, again, we don't know where we're going to be. And they try to match you up as quick as possible. So the closest ride is what you get.
Jeff, just because I'm a public transportation geek and I use public transportation, are you noticing over the last 5 years that you're picking up or taking more passengers to public transit stops? Have you noticed an uptick of that? I'm just curious.
I wouldn't say that I've noticed it because of how I drive.
Because of the LAX thing.
LAX and, you know. Okay. But I've taken people to like public transportation places.
That's where I primarily take Lyft or Uber to or from public transit stops.
How long is it?
What do you mean by how long?
You see primarily, so you're taking it from your home to the...
That's where the whole short distance thing, because I only live a mile and a half.
That's why nobody wants to service you, right?
Well, I mean,
that's why I was asking.
Check your rating. If you see your rating dropping, it's because, you remember now.
Oh, that's interesting.
If your rating is dropping, you're doing a lot of short rides, it's because the driver, if anything three or anything under three, he won't get you again. So if I live in that area and I know you're like, you constantly do that, I don't want you in my car again. I'm going
to
make sure
I'm going to have to get a scooter.
Yeah, but you know what, though?
Like, I'm going to get to
unfortunately, I think this is... Like I don't think that's right though either. I understand from if I'm an Uber or Lyft driver why you don't want to do that, but at the same time, if in terms of this transportation revolution, you need that last mile, first and last mile solution.
Well, so amen.
I think
amen.
That's okay, the struggle.
Okay, well, here's what you got to do then. This is what you got to do from an Uber Lyft driver. Have a minimum, not $2.80. Make that ride $5 minimum.
I
will pick you up every time. But if I pick him up...
Wait, when you say make it a minimum, add the tip to it.
No, Uber or Lyft.
$5
$5 a minute.
Because remember, like I said, I do the $2.80 ride. You know, I'm fucking don't even tip me. And then again, I'm helping them out.
Jeff, when I lived in D.C. For law school, they had this strange thing, the way that they had their taxis. They didn't have it metered. It was zoned. So if you were within one zone, no matter how short or how long it was, you paid X. If you crossed over into the second zone, even if it's shorter distance, you paid Y.
It should be like that. And if they do that, and keep in mind now, what I'm telling you, all drivers don't do that. Because some drivers like short rides. They don't like them long rides. So it evens out. I'm just saying for me, that works for me. If I'm in a neighborhood, like if when I in the morning when I do the rush hours, when I do it, if I pick up somebody and they're going a short distance and I'm like, I'm in West Hollywood or wherever, and I'm like, okay, I usually drive in West Hollywood during the rush hour. This person is going to work. If I get them again, it's going to be the same thing, $2.80 or $3.50. I don't want that person again in my car. So I'm going to give him a one. He ain't going to never be in my car. Get somebody else.
I see.
But you see what I'm saying? But now the next guy that gets him probably won't mind.
Well, I mean, I think this is the nice thing about the quote-unquote free market of Uber or Lyft is you're going to have experienced guys like Jeff who know to avoid those kinds of riders, and then there's going to be new people who are like, yeah, I'll give me anything. I'll say yes to anything.
When I first started, that's how it was. But then again, like I said, to cut down on that.
Right.
If you make a minute, just like right now, gas prices have gone up.
Oh, and they're going to go up again.
But then again, they're not adjusting the driver's fare for that. So now when you tell me I got to go pick up somebody, them universities, and it's only going to be a $3 ride, so screw that. I'm not doing wasting my time and my gas doing a bunch of those rides. Mm-hmm. Because again, now, I got to make it work for me, else it's not even worth doing it. And that's how eventually even those new guys that come in that says, hey, I'm going to do it. They're going to say, hey, man, I'm not making any money. How am I going to make some money?
And the reality, Jeff, is for a lot of those short rides that you're talking about, especially at these universities, I believe with the advent of the scooters and the advent of the e-bikes and all that stuff, all those other alternatives, a lot less people are going to be using Uber and Lyft for those extremely short rides. That's my opinion. However, where I live in the South Bay, I don't have a scooter. I don't have Bird. I don't have Lime. I don't have an e-bike. It's completely bare. So the only way I can get to and from my transit stop is through Uber or Lyft.
I don't think you necessarily have something to worry about in the sense, like I said, it's not a lot of guy drivers are not as extreme as me. Okay. And then sometimes it ain't everybody. I may like him, like Rudy was a short ride, but I like Rudy. I don't mind having him in my car again.
How are you going to know that you like Rudy though?
Conversation. Like...
Well, but that's charm. What do you mean?
But that's prior. But I guess I'm presuming that you get the request. You're not going to really know other than his rating if you like him.
I'd say Rudy, if in the same area. You know what? Since I've been doing this, I've had about 5-10 people in my car in the 5 years.
Like repeats.
But it's because it's the same area. It's around the same time. Yeah. And kind of. But usually you won't. But again, like I said, I give people like Rudy a pass if I like him, if this is a short ride.
Is that a good way of stalking also?
Well, yeah, that's another
don't
way.
Answer that.
That's another good way.
Listeners, here's some stats that I want you to take heed of. And this is not official towards specifically Uber. I only looked this up on the Uber side, but there was a website, ridesharingdriver.com. The average Uber driver makes $15.73 per hour or 83 cents per mile, but that's before accounting for vehicle expenses. An Uber driver after vehicle expenses, it would be about $11.93 per hour or 63 cents per mile. The average vehicle expense, if you look at it per mile, is about 20 cents. Lyft announced their IPO and it was about $72 a share on March 29th. Also on that day, March 29th, it opened at $87. So the IPO was $72. When the market opened, it actually increased significantly to $87, and its lowest ever was $55.56. So
as well, just for everybody to know and understand, neither of those companies are technically profitable. A lot of the rides are they're all subsidized, and a lot of people are like scratching their heads figuring out like how are you going to make money. Well, this whole the ride sharing, the ride part of it is just one of the businesses. I mean, the amount of other businesses that Uber is doing, they're doing Uber Freight, Uber Eats. Uber is getting into the flying car game. It's not a joke. They're like part sponsors.
Gotta get my pilot's license.
You got to get your pilot's license.
That's pretty cool. That'd be pretty cool.
Like, and I do think if the infrastructure is built and driverless technology is adopted and things get connected and we go down that route, those companies could become profitable once they get rid of the drivers. That's their number one expense.
A quick question here for you then, Jeff. Mm-hmm. So you're from the U.S. Virgin Islands. Where specifically?
St. Thomas, born and raised.
St. Thomas, born and raised.
You ever been?
I actually have. A while ago, I was on a cruise, and so I went to the Caribbean Islands.
There you go, man. I suggest... You should. Everybody needed to take a trip. They're all talking about Jamaica. You know, thing about America is you're from America, so you go to the Virgin Islands. You don't need a passport. You just jump on the plane. Next thing, you're on a white sandy beach with a colorful drink with an umbrella in it. You don't need a...
I probably know the answer to this, but in how you guys would celebrate and toast in the Virgin Islands, do you guys have a particular saying at all?
Do you say cheers like the rest of the Americas, or what do you guys say when you put when you tap your coconut cocktails together?
Wow,
it depends. Wow.
So you said the islands and white sandy beaches. I mean, what are the drinks?
I feel akin to you. You know, in the Philippines, yeah, we're toasting our coconuts.
We might say it more times, or it just depends on the generation because I've been gone for so long.
Well, so Jeff, tell people again, how can people follow you?
They can follow me several different ways. They can go jeffhodge.com. That's jeffhodge.com. My YouTube channel is Comedian Jeff Hodge. And Instagram and Facebook, it is at Jeff Hodge Comedian. I think I said it right.
Let me add just three other things about Jeff that listeners need to know. He has books about driving, and I think this is very appropriate for our audience. One of his books is 101 Plus Ways to Get Out of a Traffic Ticket.
My first book.
Pet Peeves, Things That Tick Me Off About Driving.
Mm-hmm.
101 Ways to Stay Awake When on the Road. So I think our listeners, all of them, should go out and buy those books. Those are very, very important. You also have How You and I Met, the Jeff Hodge School of Comedy.
Well, Jeff, thank you very much for being on Wisco Weekly and sharing your stories, sharing some of the insight as an Uber driver. And listeners, again, I will put all of his contact info, social media links and whatnot on the episode page for you to follow him. On behalf of Rudy, Kelly, and myself, cheers, prost, l'chaim, kipis, nastravi, salu, kampai, mabruk, tutsins, gambe, yamas, more times to the customer experience.
Visit WiscoWeeklyPod.com. You can even chat with us live about the show or get car advice.